In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A funny thing happened to me this morning. I woke up and I was another day older. Did that happen to you too? What's strange about that is I know that I am perpetually 12 years old. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, I'm 12 years old. If you don't believe me, you can ask my wife, Melanie. She'll be happy to confirm that for you. But when I look in the mirror, there is this old guy staring back at me who looks a lot like me. I don't quite recognize him. Can you relate to that? I think a lot of folks can. As I always say, if you're lucky to live long enough, you get old. We're told aging isn't for sissies, and that's certainly true. A lot of people complain about old age, but no one seems too eager for the alternative. Recently, I read a book on aging. It was written by a journalist who visited six people in their late 80s and early 90s once a month for a year. Maybe I should write a book. I've been doing visits like that for 30 years, often with a dozen people or more monthly. It was affirming that some of the author's observations matched mine, and I learned some new things too. Maybe you can teach an old dog like me new tricks. I know aging is a taboo subject in our culture. Everyone ages, but no one likes to talk about it very much. Perhaps we're in denial. I want to share some of those observations and ideas with you, but first, let's look at what the Bible has to say about aging. My text for this sermon is the epistle reading, Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. Paul had been through a lot in his life, both good and bad. On the plus side, Jesus spoke to him personally. Paul's preaching led thousands of people to faith in Christ. He was the greatest Christian missionary of all time. On the minus side, Paul had been arrested and imprisoned. Attempts had been made on his life. He even survived a shipwreck and a poisonous snake bite. Like a Timex watch, Paul took a licking and kept on ticking. Has your life been like that? I think mine has. As Paul writes to us today, his life is heading toward its conclusion. We estimate that Paul was probably in his 60s when he was martyred for the Christian faith, which makes his death early by today's standards. In Paul's time, the life expectancy was only estimated to be 35 to maybe 45 years old. That average, of course, was brought down by high infant and postpartum mortality rates. It's not as if people were frail at age 35. It's just that very few people ever made it beyond 45. You may recall that the Old Testament patriarchs lived what seemed to us to be incredibly long lives. Adam lived 930 years, his son Seth, 912 years, and old man Methuselah tops out the list at 962. It seems that those who lived closer to the time of God's creation also lived longer. As sin permeated the world, lifespans got shorter. When the Psalms were written, they say, "The years of our life are 70 or 80 by reason of strength." They also say, importantly and profoundly, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." And that gets at the heart of what we're talking about today. Children are often asked, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" But adults are never asked, "What do you want to do when you get old?" It seems to me that's a question that one should give some thoughtful, prayerful interpretation to. Knowing that aging will happen for us, we should make some plans for the inevitability of becoming older. For many of us, it seems that every time we see the doctor, it's something that we have to live with, like arthritis, or something that we have to live out, like sugar or salt. It's easy to feel that old age is the gift that keeps on taking. It's said that science has increased the length of life, but not necessarily its quality. Does aging have to be a constant downward spiral of steady loss of pleasures and abilities? No, it does not. Aging does not have to be that way. And you can look around our church and find many people who are testaments to that. In fact, some people are in better health as they get older than they were when they were younger due to God-given advances in medicine. Someone maybe who stopped going out because of mobility problems has a knee replacement surgery and they can go out again. Maybe someone who stopped doing physical activities because of shortness of breath and chest pain has bypass surgery, and they can do physical things again. By God's grace, more and more people are living longer, healthier, more active retirements than ever before. Of course, for some people, there were going to be ups and downs over time. It's true that as we age, there almost will invariably be some losses in hearing and eyesight and other functions. As we said, some of these can be repaired, some of them can't. Many of us thought, in our youthful arrogance, that we would not want to live with diminished capacities. The elderly generally don't feel that way. Given the hypothetical choice of living longer, but with some disabilities, or living shorter, but with better health, most seniors will choose living longer despite the pain and inconvenience. As we get closer to life's end, we often realize how incredibly amazing life itself is. Life at any age is precious. That reminds us that younger people should not presume to know how older people feel. A person who is 60 knows what it's like to be 60 and knows what it's like to be 30, but doesn't know what it's like to be 90. A 90-year-old knows what it's like to be both 60 and 30. There is a wisdom that comes with long life. A key to living and aging well is to be optimistic, but to have realistic expectations, learning to live within what we can do. People who focus on the things they lost and can't do anymore tend to get depressed and deteriorate. Those who focus on what they still can do, despite their limitations, they do much better. On his 100th birthday, George Burns said, "When you can't do more, doing less looks pretty good." Attitude is just so important. Let's face it, the future, not even tomorrow, is guaranteed for any of us at any age. That's why we have to live in the moment. That's why we have to savor every experience we have to its fullest. It's true. No one on their deathbed ever said, "Well, I really wish I would have spent more time at work and less time with my family." The elderly people that the interviewer talked to didn't want to talk about their careers. They didn't relive their achievements. They wanted to talk about their children and grandchildren. They wanted to spend time with their family and friends. A medical study found that social isolation is worse for one's health than smoking. God created human beings to be in relationships with other people. And those relationships are a place that joy can be found at any stage of our lives. It's a shame that our culture doesn't give more attention to the wisdom that comes with long life. A comedian once said, "You can learn a lot from old people. You don't get to be old by being a fool." It's true that as our brains age, they process new information more slowly. Maybe you can't add and subtract numbers in your head the way that you used to. But it is also true that some parts of our brain actually get stronger with age, things like pattern recognition. Seniors might have trouble operating a new app on their cell phones, but they might have more insight into events and their causes. They might be able better to evaluate differing opinions. Most of all, we are able to find happiness and fulfillment in the present, even within our limitations, rather than living being unsatisfied, always hoping that there's going to be something in the future that makes us happier than we are now. The aged know how to live and love as if there was no tomorrow. Happiness at any stage of life is a choice. Another big factor in the emotional and physical health of the elderly is having a sense of purpose. People who have a reason to get out of bed in the morning usually do. We often think of older people as care receivers. Older people who have someone to care for themselves, whether it's a spouse or a great-grandchild or volunteering in the church or the community, they are the happiest, healthiest seniors of all. Our Christian faith tells us to help others. Who knew that in doing that, we were actually helping ourselves? Well, for one, Jesus did. He would talk about finding your life by losing it. St. Paul expressed some ambivalence about living and dying. That's what all of his talk about the earthly tents and eternal dwellings and immortal clothing is about. His life had purpose in serving Christ by spreading the gospel. He had wonderful relationships with the people in the churches that he started. But Paul also knew that life in the world to come with Christ would be even better. He longed to be free from the pains and frustrations of this life and know the blessed peace and rest of paradise. The elderly people in the book that I read did not have religious faith for the most part. There was one man who said, "My favorite part of the day is waking up in the morning and thanking God for another day." We all should do that. That man also said, "Heaven is my home, but I'm not homesick. I want to stay here and enjoy life." I'm sure we can all relate to that too, because this world and its pleasures is all we have ever known. We have faith that heaven awaits us after this life, but since we've never seen it for ourselves, it's very hard for us to imagine. The other people in the book never thought about God and an afterlife. Some of them just rejected the idea altogether. They had no hope of ever seeing their departed loved ones again. They had no faith in a better world beyond this one. Personally, I cannot imagine living that way. Without belief in God, without faith in Christ, what meaning would there be to this life if it is merely waiting for oblivion, as one author put it? Why bother building relationships if it's all for naught when death takes them? Living for the moment might be a good strategy for enjoying this life, but we know that this moment is not all there is. Christ has something even better prepared for us. Paul spent his life witnessing for Christ. And when I say spent his life, I mean he poured it out like an offering. He sacrificed his own goals and comforts. He gave all that he had in service to the Lord and his people. That didn't win his salvation. Jesus Christ won salvation for Paul and for all of us on the cross. Yet knowing that he was saved enabled Paul to live and to love and to serve without reservation, knowing that the ultimate end would be good, very good indeed. You know, when I moved here, I found that the death rate in this county is 100%. Oh, yeah. Everybody that's born here dies eventually. You can look it up. How are we going to spend our lives awaiting the inevitable when the end grows closer each day? Let's spend them savoring each day, loving the people and the things that God has given us. Let's spend them doing important work, helping and caring for others. And let us spend them in hope, having faith in Christ and the power of his resurrection. Our baptism is sort of like a fountain of youth, making us new creations in Christ, promising us eternal life with Jesus and those that we love. Our old nature is passing away. Aging is part of that. But we need not fear aging or death, because by God's grace, through faith in Christ, our future is insured. That future is even better than being 12 years old again. And it's even more incredible, amazing, and precious than we can know. You can count on that. Amen.